This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, listeners. My name is Rodney Brown, and as always, it's good to be here today, good to bring a Bible message. Today, I want to read from the Gospel by John, John's Gospel, and chapter 3, and I want to read from verse 14 to 17. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Today I want to talk about the love of God, the love of God. There is a statement we find twice in 1 John chapter 4. It's in verse 8 and also verse 16. And it says, "God is love." God is love. And when the Bible says that God is love, it's describing God in his being. That's God in his nature. That's God in his heart. So that's what he is in his person. God is love. But not only do we read that God is love, we also read in Scripture how that God has shown his love. And God has shown his love in different ways, and he has shown it to different people. In the Old Testament, God showed his love to the nation of Israel. We read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And in that chapter, God is speaking to Israel about his love for them. And he tells them that his love for them, it wasn't really because of them, but it was because of him. There was nothing really lovable about them, nothing in them that would cause God to love them. But we read in that chapter that he loved them because he loved them. He loved them because God is love. That is in the Old Testament where he showed his love to the people of Israel. But now we're reading in the New Testament today, and we read in verse 16 how that God has shown his love to the world. In the context of John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a man called Nicodemus. He was a man of the Pharisees, and he was a ruler. He was a rabbi, a chief ruler, a chief rabbi of the Jewish people. And so it's very interesting as we read these verses, Jesus in conversation with Nicodemus the Jew, that he doesn't speak in this chapter about God's love to Israel. He's not talking here about God's love to the Jews, and Nicodemus would have been very interested in that subject because he was a Jew and he was a teacher of the Jewish people, a man that would be very familiar with the Old Testament, very familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 7. And the special place that those people had in the heart of God, in the love of God. But now Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he doesn't say to him that God so loved the Jews. He doesn't say God so loved Israel. No, he says God so loved the world. And so it's much greater, it's much bigger than those people of the Old Testament, the Jewish people. And in verse 16, we read how that God's love is such that he gave his only begotten Son. This, of course, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, later in this chapter, in verse 35, we read that the Father loves the Son. And it's talking about God the Father, and it's talking about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's very clear there that God the Father loves this Son, this only begotten Son the Lord Jesus Christ. But so great was God's love for the world, for God so loved the world, in this manner God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, the one whom he loves. And the love between the Father and the Son is an eternal love, because the Father is eternal and the Son is eternal. But his love to this world of people was such that he gave his only begotten, his beloved Son. And we think of that giving and what that meant. He gave him up to be born in Bethlehem. And what a thing that was for the great Son of God to become so small that he would be born of the Virgin Mary, and he would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. But not only was he given to be born in Bethlehem, he was also given to live and to be brought up in Nazareth. And in Bible times, Nazareth was a very despised place. It was a place that was not very nice. And there was an occasion when someone said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But that was where the Son of God was brought up. And God gave his Son for that as well, that life in Nazareth. He also gave him to minister around the country. And especially we think of his living and his ministry, his miracles around the city of Jerusalem, the capital of the religious nation of Israel. And he gave him for that, and with all that that meant, and ultimately the rejection in Jerusalem by God's people Israel. And ultimately, God gave his Son up to the death of the cross at Calvary. And we think of the wonder of God's love, that it was so great that he even gave his Son to death, the death of the cross. When we remember who the Son is, we remember that he is the only begotten Son of God. We remember that he is the beloved Son of God. And we remember that he is the sinless Son of God, that there was no sin that he ever did or said or even thought. And God's love to the world was such that he allowed his Son, and he sent his Son even to the death of the cross at Calvary. But we may wonder, why would God do such a thing? God's Son that he loves so much, why would he allow him and send him to such circumstances, to even the death of the cross? Well, we go on to read in verse 16, "So that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's why he sent him, for the whosoever. For here we are today, and we're all part of this world that God has loved so much, the people of this world, that he gave him for us, so that if we would believe in him. And that word believe means to trust in him, because we know that in ourselves we are not strong. In ourselves we are ungodly. In ourselves we are sinners. In ourselves we are without strength. This is what the Bible says. And we cannot do anything to help ourselves. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. And without God, and without the Son of God, without God's love for us and sending his Son to Calvary, there would be no hope for us for all eternity. We would be sent away from God's presence to take the consequences of our own sins. But we praise God that it need not be so, because we read that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not be lost in our sins, should not be lost eternally, but have everlasting, have eternal life. And indeed, in verse 17, we read that this was the purpose why God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, not to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here is the potential for the salvation of all the people in the world. And we know, of course, that not all of the people of the world will be saved, because tragically, there are many who reject God. There are many who reject the Son of God, and we know that if they reject him, then there will be no eternal life for them. But the potential is for all of us, that if we realize who God is, we realize who Christ is, we realize what Christ has done, we realize who we are, yet if we turn from sin to believe in the one who was given to even the death of the cross at Calvary, And then, having been victorious at Calvary, he was raised again from the dead. Then we will come into the blessing of forgiveness. We will come into the blessing of salvation. We will come into the blessing of eternal life. But we must trust, we must believe in him. Thanks for listening to the message today. If you would like to contact me, you can do it on my email address. That is rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.